it was meant for me. Okay, that's what I thought. Kept them up here for me so she wouldn't forget to give them to me. So I was just checking. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? Anybody ever forgetful? Anybody ever forgetful? I'm forgetful so much. I did something this week I don't know that I've ever done before. 14 years of pastoring at one church and over a year here. I don't think I've ever done this before. But I was been looking last week before I finalized what was going to come to preach, where I was going to preach after we had finished our study in the New Testament. I usually go to an Old Testament book. And we've been looking at John just a little bit. We start off communion. And so I began to work on my next sermon series. And as I began to study the book that I was looking at, I kept saying, I've preached that before. It seems like I preached that recently. And I said, well, I've preached at some other churches, some revivals, and it's kind of a revival message right there. And so I kept working, and I began to make an outline for a part of the passage. And I said, no, I've preached that before. Seems like recent. I'm thankful for my iPad. As I went to my iPad and I looked at all of my documents, there's a place where you punch up and it comes up recent documents. And there's another place that has all your documents. And so I'm just scrolling through and I say, oh, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter... Oh, I just preached that last year at Calverton. I think I better not preach that. So I just, you know, was going and spending time praying and thinking and praying and thinking. The Lord led me back to John chapter 13, where we've been the last couple of weeks. And then we just sing this hymn, Jesus is all the world to me. And it talks about not denying him. And that song perfectly went right in with today's message. And so God has all things worked out, even in our forgetfulness. And so God's still at work. And so as we continue to look at some of the conversation that Jesus Christ was having with his disciples there in the upper room, we'll be turning to John chapter 13. Peter was a member of the inner three disciples. There was the multiple disciples that Jesus had during his ministry, but then there were those that we know, the 12 disciples, and that was a group of different men, two different Judases, John and Peter and Andrew and Bartholomew and a number of others. But there was three that were really close to Jesus, three that got to have some experiences that others did not, Peter and James and John. The other disciples probably had mixed feelings about Peter. You know, we have different thoughts. We have different personalities. We connect with different people. We clash with different people. And so a group of 12 disciples, there were different personalities. Peter had that inquisitive type personality and that real quick response personality and that boldness sometimes that sometimes maybe have caused others to respect his boldness. But others may have been kind of frustrated because when they're having a time with Jesus and somebody wanted to get a word in edgewise, they had to wait till Peter was finished. Or somebody was thinking about something when it says, Peter was the first one that said that. And so I do identify with Peter, as I said before. Just because I like to study the Word of God and there's Sunday schools that I've been over the years and even was a teenager, I think I'm always the one that wanted to first answer the question. So last week, we were in Crewe, Virginia with my dear friend Dallas, and he was teaching Sunday school. He said, oh, come on down to our class for a while. And we're sitting there, and he was teaching a class, so probably about 20 or so in his class, and people weren't answering questions. And it's all I could do to keep my mouth shut, not raise my hand, because I was like, you're a pastor. Everybody knows it. You know these things already. Let the class answer it. And so I identify with Peter and his forthrightness and his boldness sometimes. But, you know, some others in the crowd may have gotten tired of Peter and in his way. Remember that they were not perfect. They, as the disciples, sometimes we look at Bible characters and we think, why would they do that? How could they do that? Right there, well, listen, we have the Holy Spirit right inside of us. And still, sometimes we do what we ought not do. Sometimes we say what we ought not to. So don't ever look at Bible characters as supposed to be perfect, because they're not. Only one is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There was one thing for sure, though. They could count on learning something from Peter's responses and from Peter's questions to Jesus. And they could also learn as Jesus would respond or give his answers back to Peter. And so those who ask a lot of questions or those who raise their hand a lot, those are the people that help us learn so much. I have a leaky water up here, so I'm going to have to set it differently. So y'all be patient with me. Sometimes I lay them in that tray, but that one wants to leak, so I don't want to ruin this finish on this. So not only did those disciples and Peter himself learn from Peter's questions and Peter's response and Jesus, but the Lord has recorded this in the Word of God so we also can learn from the questions and the answers that come from Peter and come from Jesus back and forth as they inquire one another. So saying, if you will, as we give reverence to God's Word, John chapter 13, verse number 36 through verse number 38. Still in the upper room with the disciples, Jesus had told them about loving one another. Jesus told them about his betrayal. Jesus had told them that he's going to be glorified, and we talked about what that means. So picking up at verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? In other words, where are you going? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily. In other words, truly, truly, absolutely, absolutely, assuredly, assuredly, with a great promise, Jesus saying, I say unto you, the cock or the rooster shall not crow until thou hast denied me three times. So that was going to be early in the morning. Any of y'all have any roosters around the house? They call them the watchdog. They call them the alarm clock. And so they were there in the time of Jesus. Some of them maybe just kind of wandering through the streets. Somewhere going to be near the place where Jesus was going to be placed on trial. Before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me three times. Father, we pray that you would take these moments of studying, examine, proclaiming your word, and use them in our hearts and our lives for your glory. Draw us closer to you. Draw us into a more effective ministry for you. Lord, have your will and your way in this place. Speak to each and every heart, Lord, concerning our spiritual condition, concerning our walk with you, concerning the things you'd have for us today. We pray that you would be honored and glorified, magnified, and that your saints will be edified. You draw men and women unto yourself. And use this time to teach us directly from your word, by your spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So I've entitled this message today, Letting Peter Know. But not only is Jesus letting Peter know, he's letting us know so many things. And so we have five main points that we're going to look at today as we examine through just these three verses. Number one is Peter's first question. Peter's first question is in 36a. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? In other words, where are you going? Now, Croft's reference this over the next chapter in verse number 5 of chapter 14. And they're continuing that discussion a little bit further, and more people get involved. See, Peter's boldness encouraged someone else's questions. Your questions can encourage someone else. Hey, well, you know what? That person asked a question. Maybe I should ask my question. And so questions are good as we study the Word of God. And so we find in verse number 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? They're still not fully understanding. We look at this later, and we read it, and say, how could they miss that? We have the Holy Spirit already. We have so many things that have already been taught to us. They had this big transition period in their lives to go from thinking the Messiah was going to be this military leader to seeing the Messiah was one who was going to die on the cross. Now, One of the reasons that I'm a big fan of Sunday school and Bible study times is questions, interactions. That's what they're having here. They're having to interact. They're supposed to be having Passover. And what happens? A Bible study breaks out. Interaction, study time breaks out. Now back to Peter's question. Lord, where are you going? Now, if you're trying to follow someone, be their disciple, which Peter was trying to do with Jesus. A disciple was one who was learning the ways of the master. He wanted to learn the ways of the master, the Lord Jesus, things that he was teaching. Peter wanted to be his disciple. And so if you're following someone, it's a good question to ask, where are you going? Have you ever seen that bumper sticker as you're going down the highway? The bumper sticker on the back of somebody's car says, "Don't follow me, I'm lost too." Don't follow me, I'm lost too. Peter did not want to miss. Peter did not want to be missing out on where Jesus was going. He'd been following him now probably between 3 and 4 years. He was one of the early ones called from his fishing nets to pick up his cross and follow Jesus. And so Peter was like most of the Jews of the day. They were looking for this earthly kingdom. And so Peter's saying, where are you going, Jesus? Where are you going? Are you going to Rome to defeat the Roman Empire? Are you going to Jerusalem, set up your temple and declare yourself in the temple to be the king? Where are you going? Are you going to look for David's, King David's old place, set up? What are you doing? And so Peter wants to know, where are you going? They were looking still for that earthly kingdom that God had promised. Now, God's still going to deliver that, but that is not in God's time right then. He came, first of all, to be the Messiah who dies. Next time he comes to be the king who rules. And so they were looking for the king who rules the first time, and they missed the Messiah who must die. Peter and other disciples had a lot more to learn about what it meant to follow the Lord. Can we say amen? Yes, we do too. We are to be students of God's word, and we're always going to be learning and learning and learning if we're willing to learn. We've got so much to learn. I had a dear friend that asked me the other day. I was sharing the gospel with her and trying to get her to understand that it's not by work that a person is saved. She had someone tell her years ago in a Catholic school, the lady told her, "You're never going to make it to heaven." And that has stuck with her. She's in her 70s now, and this lady told her years ago, "You'll never make," and she had the rest of the girls in the class tell her, "You'll never," I don't know what she said or did, but she thinks still some of that. I was trying to explain salvation to her. There's so much yet for her to learn, and so if you'll pray for her, that she'll come to a full understanding of salvation. Peter and they had so much to learn, they weren't meant to follow the Lord. And about this kingdom that Jesus was building. Jesus is talking about in his ministry, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. And the kingdom is, they were thinking earthly kingdom. But Jesus came to set up a kingdom where? In our hearts, first of all. And then one day, there will be that earthly kingdom that he promises. And as he comes at the end of the tribulation. We are to keep on asking questions of the Lord to learn. When you have your personal Bible study, when you have Bible study, ask questions. You know what? When we have Sunday morning service, if there's something I've said in the service and you don't understand, it doesn't make sense. What did you mean by that, Pastor? I am free to take those questions. Either at the end of the service, call me. I don't mind it. I really look forward to that. You know why I look forward to these questions? Because I know you're listening. If you ask questions, I know you're listening. And so questions are good. Peter was asked. So we have our first point is Peter's first question. Our next point is Jesus Christ's first explanation found in 36b. And he said, "Whether I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Another way of saying this answer is not now, but later. Not now, Peter, but later you can go. This reminds me of a mother's answer to her child when she was asking, the child was asking for cookies while the mother was preparing supper. And the child comes in and says, "You know, can I have some of these cookies over here, Mom, that we baked yesterday?" And the mother's going to certainly say what? "No, not now. Not now. It's going to spoil your supper. You can't do that now. Not now, but after you eat your veggies. After you eat a helping of fruit. After you eat some protein. After you have a nice steak with you know, or a nice chicken leg or something like that, and you have your other things, then you can have your cookies. Not now, but later. So that's what Jesus is saying to Peter. Yes, Peter, you can go where I'm getting ready to go. You can go where I'm going to be glorified in heaven. You can go, but not right now, Peter. God had a plan for Peter to use him on the earth to take the gospel. Peter didn't understand that at the time, but that's what God had for him. To me, some of this answer that Jesus gives to Peter, you cannot go with me now, but you can go later, tells me at this point, Peter was already saved. Peter had trusted Jesus as Savior. Remember, Peter made that great confession one day when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You're the one that we've been looking for." He put all of his hope and his trust in Jesus. And there was that confidence in Jesus saying to him, "You can go, but you can't go now." Listen. If God were to speak to about you personally today, would God personally say about you, "This one's going with me. I know you're going with me"? Is there that affirmation in your heart that you know that Jesus is ready to take you with him because you're saved, because you've trusted him? Peter had already trusted Jesus. That's the most important decision you could ever make in your life, to ask Jesus to be your Savior, to be your Messiah, your deliverer. Are you sure? Peter would be going later. Christ was referring to the place where he came from heaven, and where he was going to return. Peter was plainly told that he had to follow Jesus to get to heaven. Jesus is saying, "You must follow me." Now, Jesus solidifies this truth again in John chapter 14. Look at verse number 6, a verse that you're perhaps very familiar with, that I want you to be familiar with. Jesus said unto him, he's responding to Thomas's question that we looked at earlier. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's a very emphatic statement. That's not a statement of wishy-washiness. That's not a statement, you know, here's one of the possibilities. Jesus did not say, "I am a way to the Father. I am a truth. I am a light. I am a this." He said, "The." "The" is the definite article in the English language. Now, sometimes there's things about the Greek language with the New Testament written in, and the English language are quite different. But this is something that's very similar, the definite article. The definite article is also in the Greek language. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." That's a very important statement. When people get upset with me or get upset with you or get upset with Christians or get upset with Christian churches for saying that the Bible is exclusive on certain things, and that Jesus is the only way, and that's unfair for you to say that, I'm only repeating what Jesus said. And if Jesus said it about himself, who am I to change it or deny it? I can't. Jesus said, "I am the way, the only way." Jesus says, "I am the way." He is the way to God. He is the truth from God, and he is the life given from God. And the Bible also teaches this over and over and over again. Anyone, or any teacher, or preacher, or church, or denomination, or organization does not believe this or proclaim this truth is false, is out of the Word of God, is out of the will of God, is a false teaching, because Jesus taught this. He said, "Peter, you can go, but not now. And I'm the way to get there. You can go through me." If God had multiple ways to get to heaven, if God had other ways for people to get to heaven, why would he have done that to his son? Why would he have had to turn his back on his son? Why would he have to watch his son on a cruel cross if there were multiple ways? He wouldn't have done that to his son. He wouldn't have sent his son to earth to die, to be spit upon, to be mocked, to be made fun of, to walk those old dusty, crummy streets, and to lay his head down, not knowing where, to be ridiculed. There's only one way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter is given an explanation by Jesus. Third point is Peter's second question, verse 37. You know what? Peter says, okay, I'm getting a little bit. Let me get a little bit more. Let me ask some more questions. And so it's always good. Just keep digging. Peter says unto him, Lord, why can I follow thee now? So like that mom and that girl with the cookie, why can't I have it now, mom? You help me bake it. You know, it's got flour in it. That's one of the food groups. It's got some milk in it. It's got some eggs in it. All the things you tell me at school I'm supposed to eat. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Why not now, Peter's saying. Why not now? There's a good reason God had him to wait. There's a good reason. God had a plan for Peter. You ever wondered, why, God, can't you just go and take me to glory now? Why can't you just take me? Lord, I'm tired. I don't like these things that are going on in our country. I don't like the things that are going on in our world. I don't like Lord, I'm ready to just go be with you. God says, no, I still got you here for a purpose. I still got you here for a plan. I still got you. I still want to use you for something. And Peter's saying, how about now? God's saying, wait. To be fair to Peter, I don't believe that he was asking out of the spirit of defiance. But he was asking for clarification. Let's ask ourselves an important question. Should we ever ask God questions? Should we ever ask God why? Some people say you should never question God. What's the Bible teach? What's the Bible example? Should we ever ask God why? How about the mother who lost her child? God, why? Why, God? Why me? Why this situation? How about Job? How about Joseph? Why, God? Why? Why? A.W. Tozer, that I'm going to quote later, he only lived into his 50s. Why? One of my folks that really spoke to my heart when I was growing up as a teenager was Keith Green. You may remember some of his music. He died in a plane crash with several of his children and his friend and several of their children in a plane crash, taking off from his airstrip that his ministry ran, and he would preach and teach all over the world and sing. Why? Should we ever ask God why? Some people say no. I think it's very important that we clarify this here. I say yes. We can ask God why. We can ask God why. But when we ask God why, be very aware of our attitude. Our attitude in asking God questions is important. When we ask God questions, we ask with humility and not arrogance. We ask out of a heart to learn and a desire to understand things, not to question God's authority. We don't ask God, how could you? Because God has permission to do whatever he wants. God doesn't need our permission. God doesn't need our explanation. Now, keep these things in mind when we ask God questions. I think they'll help us. Keep these things in mind. There's several other things, but keep these things in mind. Asking because you're wanting to learn and grow closer to God. When you ask your questions, ask because you want to learn and grow. As I said already, humility when we're asking. Number two, know for sure that when we ask God why, that we may not get the answer. God may not answer, even though we ask. Number three, know that the answer may come later. We may not be mature enough. It may not be God's timing to give that answer right now. The answer may come later. Fourthly, know that God does not owe us an explanation. That's very important now. Listen. Know that God does not owe us an explanation. There are a lot of folks who've quit church, who've quit Bible study, who've quit this, who've quit praying because God did not give me an answer. God took my family member. God allowed this to happen. God allowed me to be born in this situation. And I'm not going to serve a God that allowed that. They don't understand God. They don't understand God from the Bible. That's why God gives us examples like Daniel and Jeremiah, who preached and was put in jail, who Jesus, John, who put in jail. John, the apostle, put on the Isle of Patmos and didn't quit and wrote the book of Revelation. When we think and we teach people that God will give you an explanation and you deserve an explanation from God, that is not biblical. When we ask God a question, realize that he does not have to give us an explanation because he is God. He is sovereign. He might give us an answer. But he's still God and still worthy of praise and honor and glory and service whether he answers us or not. Whether he gives us the answer that we hope to get. Sometimes when we ask God, we already have the answer that we want. So like the girl with the cookies. Yeah, mom loves me. She's going to give them to me. I help bake them. And we don't want to see them go bad, you know. I hate to see a cookie go bad. You know, one of the worst things in the world could ever happen is his dessert go bad and I get, yeah, you have to be thrown out. It's a tragedy when ice cream gets stale because it's been the fridge. It's just, that's a tragedy. But you know what? Sometimes we take that look when we want an explanation of why from God and we don't get it. Now, Peter's getting one here because that's God's time. That's God's purpose. That's God's place. But when you look at Job, Job didn't get all the answers he was looking for. And so, fourthly, God does not owe us an explanation. Fifthly, silence from God is not a reason to stop serving God. Silence from God is not a reason to stop serving God. Because God's really not silent. There's so much right here to keep us busy that just because we don't get the other things doesn't mean that God is not speaking. Peter, like us, can begin to think that he knew best. We may not have the right plan, the right purpose, or the right timing. And when we don't, we need to remember that God does. So Peter's next question was, how about now? And why not now? Remember, God's plan, God's purpose, God's timing is best. And that's how we have to keep going before him and praying and studying and try to be in his will. Fourthly, Peter's bold proclamation is our fourth point. And verse number 37b, Peter says, I will lay down my life for thy sake. He said in the first part, as we already looked at, why can't I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thee. Now think back that Peter may have been looking for an earthly kingdom. Keep that in mind now. He said, I'll lay down my life for you. In other words, if someone comes to take you, I'm going to try to stop it. What's that? Peter's saying, I'll die for you, Lord. How many times have we started a sentence with I will, and it got us in trouble? Lord, I will do this. Come to a time of invitation. Lord, you know, you've spoken to my heart, and I'm going to do this. I will start doing this. I will stop doing this. I will lay down my life for you, Lord. Oh, yeah. It's interesting what Jesus responds in a minute. I will. The Bible says when we make a vow before the Lord, keep it. It tells that in the book of Ecclesiastes. Don't make a vow unless you intend to keep it. Vows before the Lord are very serious and very solemn. Don't take them lightly. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Yes be yes and your no be no. Peter had the right answer. I'll lay down my life for you, Lord. He had the right motive. Lord, you're Lord of all. And no one's greater than you. He had the right motive. He had the right heart's desire. Lord, you're worthy of me laying my life down. But he had the wrong timing. Wrong timing. Perhaps Peter thought that he would die to keep Jesus from dying so the earthly kingdom could be set up. Jesus, you know, you've done all these miracles and you've taught all this. And I know you're getting ready to set up this kingdom. You've been talking about the kingdom you're going to set it up. And Jesus, I'll fall on the sword for you so you can set up that kingdom. Peter may have been thinking about that. Peter may have had just a little bit of hero mentality here. Why do you say that, preacher? Are you digging too deep? No. You look over a little bit further, and Peter's in the garden with Jesus. And what Peter, when they come to arrest Jesus, what does Peter do? Whips out the sword, cuts off the man's ear. You remember that? What was he trying to do? I'll lay down my life. I'll fight to the death for you, Jesus. I know, Jesus, you're not going to die. If you die, you can raise yourself or do some kind of miracle. But you know what? He was taking up physical warfare. And Jesus is trying to teach about spiritual warfare. Jesus would have to die for Peter to be a part of the heavenly kingdom. And Peter didn't quite understand that yet. Peter was going to need this boldness that he had now later in his ministry, and the Lord would give him the grace to use it right. You remember who preached at Pentecost? Who preached at Pentecost? Peter. The boldness that he was using without knowledge, when he had knowledge by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, God used that boldness. Now, what am I saying? God can take our characteristics, physical characteristics, earthly ministries, earthly abilities, playing the piano, Candy and her craftiness, and doing the bulletins and all kinds of things and different ones. God can use those physical things for his glory if we turn them over to him. Fifthly, as we close in verse number 38, Jesus' challenge. Verse 38, Jesus' challenge. Challenges from the Word of God are important. Jesus answered and said, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" Question mark. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the rooster shall not crow until thou hast denied me thrice." Wow. Peter, Lord, I'll follow you. Lord, I'll do anything. Jesus said, "Oh yeah, you're getting ready to deny me, buddy. Before morning." Now remember, it's in the afternoon here now when Jesus with his disciples. So in less than probably 12 hours, from great boldness to great denial. "Will you lay down your life for me?" Peter was being cut down to size. You ever heard that term, being cut down to size? Jesus had to do that to Peter. Are you okay when the Lord has to cut you down to size sometimes? That's what he does in his word. That's why we try to preach the whole counsel of God's word. I don't preach just God loves us, yes. But every message can't be about God's love. Every message is not about God's discipline. The word of God is balanced. But there are times when God just has to cut us down to size. When God has to rebuke us. When God has to challenge us. "Will you lay down your life?" A question that everyone in that room that night needed to be able to answer. A question in that room that night everyone needed to hear. But it's also a question that we need to read in the Word of God. It's a question that every one of us in this room need to hear. It's a question that every one of us in this room, we need to answer. Will you lay down your life for Jesus? That's what it means to be a Christian. Lord, my life is nothing. And I place it all in your hands. And you take my life and make it what you want to be. And you know what Jesus said? Take up your cross daily. We die to self daily. We get up in the morning and say, I got all these plans I'm going to do. I don't have time for the Lord. He just, when I get all the things, some people do that with their life. You know what? I'm just going to live and do all these things. And when I get about 40 or 50, I'll start thinking about church. It just doesn't happen because Satan's got a hold of it. So we as Christians, we lay our life down the day we get saved, and then we are daily dying to ourselves. Take up our cross, deny ourselves, and live for the Lord. This statement is a daily calling. Take up your cross and follow Christ. A.W. Tozer said, a mere passive surrender may be no surrender at all. Any real submission to the will of God must include a willingness to take orders from Him from this time on. I love A.W. Tozer's writings. A mere passive surrender may be no surrender at all. Any real submission to the will of God must include a willingness to take orders from Him from this time on. You ever heard of the term orders from headquarters? Comes military, I think, where that came from. Sometimes the boss, the big boss. Anybody ever been on a job where the big boss is coming? The big boss is coming. The big boss said to do this. I worked for a retailer in high school, and the owner of the store's father had put all three of his sons in business of retail stores. And sometimes the father would come and visit the other three stores. And you were thankful if you got warned that the big man's coming. The big man was coming. Because he had this weird practice he used to do. Now, he could get away with this nowadays, but back in the 80s, he would do this, 70s and 80s. He told me he'd do this. I never met him. But it said he would walk in a retail store and walk around your department. You're supposed to walk up and down the aisles and watch. And he would steal something out of your department and walk out of the store with it. And if you didn't say something to him, he'd come back in and fire you because you weren't watching his store closely. Well, that's a crazy way to do it, but it's a great reminder of being surrendered, of willing to die. Now, remember back years ago, probably for some of us, when we would hear sermons that would warn us or challenge us about what we would do if the Russians came. Remember during the Cold War, the height of the Cold War? What are we going to do in churches if the Russians come to our country and they take away our Bibles? Remember hearing sermons like that, revivals? Am I the only one? Anybody else hear those sermons? What are you going to do if this country comes after 9/11? What are you going to come in if they keep on attacking our land and they take away our Bibles and get rid of our Bibles? You remember those sermons? What are you going to do if they come to our country and they come into a meeting like this and ask, are you willing to die for Jesus? What will you say? We just think about that as a threat in the Cold War and the war on terrorism. But now we've got to think about a little bit closer to home. There's a lot of wild things going on in the country as you watch the news and listen to Christian radio and hear what's going on. Coaches that get fired for trying to have their ball players to pray on the field after the game. People that get fired for having a Bible on their desk in America and Canada. Are you willing to lay your life down? Peter says, are you, Lord, going to go without me? And Jesus says, are you going to deny me? Yes, you will. Peter was going to sin. After this night, Peter was going to deny. After this night, Peter was going to fail. After this night, and guess what? After this sermon, I'm going to sin. I'm going to fail the Lord. I'm going to deny Him in some ways. And guess what? Bad news is what? So are you. We all will, in maybe large ways, maybe small ways. Maybe when the Lord speaks to our hearts and says, "You need to witness that person. You need to witness that person." And we say, no, Lord, I can't do that. I'm ashamed. That's what we really are. And we deny an opportunity to get a blessing. When we share the gospel with other people, if you take a Bible tract or something to hand to them, invite them to church, ask them whether they know the Lord, let me assure you, even if a person responds no, there may be a negative or hurt feeling afterwards, but a little while later, you know what the Lord's going to say? But you served me. But you were faithful. But you did the right thing. The response is not your responsibility. The caring of the message is. And that's happened to me many, many times. Share with somebody. Gave somebody a tract the other day, and I said, you know what? We've talked about salvation before, but I want you to have it on paper so you can be sure. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And afterwards, I had a peace in my heart that, you know what? I did the right thing. When we fail the Lord, we have a choice. Here's the choice. Will I dwell in that failure? Or will I confess that failure, shake the dirt off my boots, and move on? Accept God's forgiveness, accept God's deliverance, and move forward. You know what? Sometimes folks fail the Lord, whether they consider it big or small. It doesn't matter. It's sin. And they say, the Lord's finished with me. I can't go back. After this time, remember Peter denied three times. Later at the seashore, Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? He restored him. The Lord always wants to restore us. We can live defeated, or we can confess, repent, and move on for the Lord Jesus. A closing thought, a closing question. Am I willing to live for the Lord? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll live for Jesus. Are you willing to die for the Lord? Are you willing to lay down your life? Take up your cross daily and follow him. Lord, I pray that you use this time of invitation to draw us closer, that we would, by your power and by your Spirit, do business with you today, whatever you've spoken to our hearts about. Help us to live surrender lives. Help us to live lives where we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you, no matter what you call us to do. You might call some out of this room to do something they thought they could never do before. But Lord, you're speaking to their heart to do it, to step out and do it. And Father, I pray that you would just use our church to reach our generation for you in whatever way we can. And Father, other people would see in our lives a surrendered life, a life that's on fire and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would be convicted by what they see in us. Use us for your honor, for your glory. Use this time of invitation, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.